Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Patrick Mooney does an incredible job of covering them for The Athletic, and you can follow him on Twitter at PJ_Mooney. All guests are brought to you by Alpamonte Ford Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Patrick, how are you, sir?
Good. How you been, Lawrence?
I've been okay. I read your piece about Darvish in The Athletic this morning. It's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. I'm not sure what the Cubs can do, and it's kind of sort of the thing that you did where there's almost this proverbial shrug on whether or not they're going to get the guy they expected to get. Did they expect that they would see such a steep drop-off from the player they were looking at versus the player they got?
Well, certainly no one, whether it's Darvish or Theo or Madden, really anyone involved, thought this was going to be the first year plus of Yu Darvish in Chicago when he signed that big contract kind of on the eve of spring training last year. And, you know, at this point, I think you use the word shrug. That's kind of right, that whether Darvish pitches really well or really poorly, I don't think you can really make too many generalizations. You know, and I think Darvish understands that it's up to him to prove it, you know, every 5 days and just keep going out there and, you know, finally find that rhythm. I certainly do think that's possible. There were positive signs last night. There's certainly a track record there on his baseball reference page. But in a season like this, given kind of some of the uncertainties throughout the organization and on the roster, I think they're really getting close to that point where, like I wrote, you can't be banking on too many more moral victories. They're going to need him to put up innings and start getting wins and creating that sense of momentum.
Yeah, you're right. The margin of error on this particular Cubs team is very thin. And so with every little thing that goes wrong, it just seems like it's pushing them further and further back from their goals. And I guess, is it fair to say that this year's Cubs team is the most perilous as far as not being able to absorb some of these failures?
Yeah, I think they obviously didn't build themselves that cushion that has been kind of a staple of Madden's tenure here. John Lester, who's been so reliable, you have no idea where the franchise would be if he hadn't signed here in the winter of 2014. He's on the disabled list. The bullpen, which is kind of for everyone, you need April to kind of feel things out. That has certainly been an adventure in the late innings. And so the National League as well, just looking across, the NL East, NL West, teams are better. There aren't too many teams that are tanking right now in this division in particular. It's something the Cubs have been talking about for months. There aren't too many easy nights or nights off. So when you take all these things together, I mean, it's great that Darvish felt good about his outing, that there were these positive takeaways, but that'll kind of only get them so far. You know what I'm saying?
No, there's no doubt about that. And we're talking with Patrick Mooney of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at PJ_Mooney. How did you feel when there was, severe is not the right word, but when there was significant pushback from Theo on some of the stuff that you wrote about their expectations for April and May and how they were trying to change this year?
I don't know. I mean, we reported that story, you know, that took, you know, months. It was published weeks ago. I don't think it's really any sort of lingering issue. I understand, you know, where he's coming from. I don't think it's any sort of issue in the clubhouse now. And I think the Cubs are perfectly capable of doing both of these things, that they can make you know, adjustments to their game day routines and emphasize this idea of a fast start while still remembering that it's a, you know, 6-7 month season. I mean, these are professionals, they're adults. I don't think, you know, these daily questions about urgency are really, you know, relevant. I mean, the Cubs, this was not a Theo mandate. This was, you know, players, you know, talking through ideas with Theo and Jed and the coaching staff. And it was clearly based on, you know, a lot of trust that they had built up throughout the years. And we had, you know, lots of people talking about that on the record. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think everyone around the Cubs now is trying to keep things in perspective, remembering that it is a long season, and I think Joe Maddon's his style, a lot of his strengths, are going to be validated if they do turn it around here.
Do you think that some of this is a byproduct of a culture change inside the clubhouse? And here's what I'm asking, Patrick. These are a group of guys that won very young in their careers. And now those guys, in a certain sense, have kind of grown up, and they can kind of – they can forge their own path. Is that part of what we're seeing with them?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I don't really know the answer. I think, you know, some of this is a group of players who, you know, by and large, really are professional, that they have shown, you know, a great sense of the kind of purpose and work ethic over the years to get to this point. And I think it's a recognition that things can't stay the same forever. I mean, these issues in the clubhouse didn't, you know, sneak up on anyone. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was, you know, part of it was natural after, you know, such a global event of winning the World Series as, you know, the Chicago Cubs. And then it's the nature of baseball. It's really hard. It's relentless. It's a brutal kind of schedule. And, you know, I think time will tell whether or not that fall of 2016 was kind of the perfect storm or, you know, really the basis of this dynasty that they had really been talking about for years. So I think a huge part of this is, you know, Joe Maddon not having a contract for next year has certainly added a layer to it. I think the finances of these arbitration eligible players has made things more complicated too, in terms of, you know, setting the roster. And, you know, we'll see if, you know, these guys are as good as everyone thought, you know, kind of in November, you know, 2016.
What things from the first 2 weeks of baseball and the Cubs do you think is valuable to the fan, and what things you think they might just be baseball anomalies?
I'd say, you know, I think there are positive signs within the offense. I do think that you might be seeing signs of them kind of getting their swagger back. I asked Wilson Contreras that last night, and you know, he certainly feels that. You know, I don't know if Jason Hayward's going to be the most dangerous hitter on the planet for the entire season, but there's certainly a roadmap for him to be a productive offensive player, which combined with his leadership skills, gold glove defense, you know, base running ability, is a really, really, you know, useful player. You know, you see Kyle Schwarber, Javier Baez. I think the offense will be kind of what we expected in, you know, the broken offense from the second half of last year. I think they're turning that around. I think there is an element of randomness here where we can't totally overreact and write off the rest of the season. If you take, you know, a game in Texas, the game they blew in Atlanta, you know, all of a sudden this start looks a lot different. I think they'd be like 5-6 if they hadn't blown, you know, two of those saves. And they knew going in that April was going to be this kind of trial and error period with the bullpen. And so I guess maybe circling back to, you know, the beginning of our conversation, I think it'll be, you know, what can they get out of you, Darvish? And, you know, this rotation, this big money, big name rotation absolutely has to live up to expectations that the Cubs are going to go anywhere and give them that kind of feel-good vibe in the clubhouse and a sense of momentum. And this is where they've put a lot of resources when you're looking at, you know, trade chips, you know, money, you know, things of that nature. And they have to, you know, kind of step up and deliver here.
I've brought it up on the show over the first 2 weeks that there seems to be this heightened awareness of Cubs fans that they were waiting for this season to start. They felt like that there was unfinished business when it came to the way that last season ended. You're seeing the Brewers' ascension of them being the NL Central champions. I'm wondering, and I know that I'm asking this question from the perspective of someone who can have an effect on some of that, on amplifying some of that, but I know you don't listen all the time. But you deal with Cub fans too, whether it's in what goes on The Athletic or in your Twitter feed. Are you getting that same level of heightened awareness from Cub fans?
Well, I mean, you know this, Lawrence. It's a privilege to work in Chicago and cover teams like the Cubs. And I think, you know, players, coaches, executives feel the exact same way, that, you know they helped create this kind of monster. And I think there was this vacuum during the winter of, between firing Chili Davis and, pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, you had, Daniel Descalso signed and a couple of complimentary bullpen guys. There wasn't a lot to talk about. There wasn't a lot of positive news around the Cubs for fans to get really excited about and say, okay, this is, these are the dates we're circling on the calendar. I can't wait to see, someone like Bryce Harper playing at Wrigley Field. So I think that was a big part of it. But, I go back to something, someone told me a long time ago, trust what you see. And, when you see some of these things, whether it's the bullpen or some of the rhetoric coming out of the team, trust what you see, trust what you hear, that things have been a little off. That doesn't mean the Cubs are doomed, but clearly they know they have some issues to work through if they're going to make this an interesting summer at Wrigley Field.
Patrick, as always, I appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for jumping on the show. I'll see you at Wrigley Field soon.
Sounds good, Lauren. Thank you.
It's Patrick Mooney. Follow him on Twitter at @PJ_Mooney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.